I don't have to say a word.
It's Tom Superman in the mix, baby, right here. We're live here with Patrick Beasley. And we're getting ready to talk about what's going on in politics, because we need Patrick Beasley. Okay, there you got it right here. I'm Tom Superman, and right now we're going to bring Miss... I don't know her name, so I ain't going to mess it up, because she just walked into the studio, and guess what? Patrick got a sister for a campaign manager, and I know this is going to be something.
Dr. Lorinda Harris
makes me nervous. Huh?
Dr. Lorinda Harris.
Harris' son.
Yeah.
Dr. Relindo Harrison. She said, Thomas, shut up. I'll do it myself. I'll take care of Dr. Lorindo Harrison. Y'all just having a good time over there. Lois Lane and Dr. Harrison over here. Let's welcome you, though. But let's talk about, on the real, I mean, how do you feel about that whole situation 3 weeks before the general, coming to... The Martin Luther King Center, his opponent, did that hit you for?
It hit me kind of hard. Let me just kind of preface this by saying that I typically do not come out front. My job is to support this man, to support his vision, his ideals, to encourage him, all of that. Mm-hmm. So I let him do the talking because he is so eloquent at it. Mm-hmm. But this kind of struck a chord with me on so many different levels, Mr. Tommy. Mm-hmm. First of all, I don't like people to be shanghaied into participating in something if their schedules don't allow or if they simply are unable to do so. Mm-hmm. And I think that the notion that not participating in this particular forum means that, oh, you've all of a sudden lost all of this support. I think that that is an unfair suggestion to even plan. But let me go all the way back, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
When we received the invite, it had 30 positions on it, state and local, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, if you look at 30 positions, that's two people per position. So that would ultimately end up being 60 people. So when I first looked at the invite with him, I said, sweetie, how? Now, I knew for a fact that I couldn't be there because my schedule would not allow. I was out of town and out of state for a moment in the course of that week. But I said, I don't know how we're going to be able to facilitate that over that period of time.
Okay.
Given the number, the sheer number of people participating. And here's why. I've planned forums before. I've moderated forums before. And truthfully, it is more than a notion to even navigate 5 people, 10 people, much less the 60 that seemed to be the aim of this.
60.
So I was telling him, I said, at 60... and at $50 a pop, there's a $3,000 threshold that's set.
Okay.
So apparently there's a goal, a fundraising goal of $3,000, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
But for a forum, that's kind of unrealistic to even try to facilitate. In the middle of the week, if people give you their time, then when they do so, you must be relevant.
Mm-hmm.
You must be impactful. You must be substantial, but you also must be time efficient.
Yes.
That's key because people are working, people have children, people have so many different obligations. And if they carve out that niche of time for you, then you have to do that for them. And then for the candidates participating, it also must be the same metric. It must be relevant. It must be substantial. It must be impactful. And it also must be time efficient for them as well, because these candidates are working full-time jobs and they are out here trying to craft their vision to folks, and they are pouring all of their passion and all of their resources into what they believe is going to be their great contribution to their offices. So having said that, I said, well, let's just do a little math, shall we? If all 60 people showed up and they were given the equal amount of time, and we know that that wouldn't necessarily be true, because you had gubernatorial and lieutenant gubernatorial candidates that were told you must contact Ms. Kettle in order to participate. So let's just say, for the sake of argument, that there had not been a paradigm shift if the gubernatorial and the lieutenant gubernatorial candidate showed up and everybody was given the same amount of time to speak, mm-hmm. and all 60 people had shown up and they were given 3 minutes. That's 180 minutes. That is 3 hours off rip. And that's just saying, please tell us a little bit about your platform. And that's even after you have to do your preliminaries. You have mm-hmm. to introduce the form. You have to give the ground rules. You have to do a number of housekeeping things before you even get into it. So now in the middle of the week, with 60 people who were, according to this flyer that we were sent, because all 30 offices there were represented on the flyer, that would have been 3 hours. We've not asked a question. There wouldn't have been time for a debate. There wouldn't have been time to do much of anything. So I just, okay. So if, I got to take a breath. So if we were, so if we truly wanted to make this about the candidates and really make this about getting their platforms out there and being able to craft their vision, because, hey, these folks are, this is their life work. Mm-hmm. This is what they have done for their lives. So they're very passionate and they're very intent that what they have to offer is going to be the great contribution to that office. So, you know, in order to do that, you might need to spread that out over several days. And you might need to spread that out over that day, but over several time periods in order to be fair to them.
So these are the changes. One change, perhaps, that maybe need to be revisited is the fact that we need to categorize, first of all, and then set it up for day one, day two, right. or day three, according to the amount of people paying the $50 or whatever it mm-hmm. is to be, whatever the fee is for you to come on
right.
stage.
Or even if you wanted, if you only had the venue for that day, because I really doubt very seriously that the venue could even hold 60 candidates plus an audience, but that's another conversation for another day. Uh-huh. But I really feel like they could have done it over the course of that day. Maybe they start at 1 o'clock and say, from 1 to 3, we're going to have sheriffs and DAs. From 3 to 5, we're going to have supervisors.
Now, that's,
from
that's
5 to 7,
idea.
We're going
that's
to have... However you're going to do it, but it has to be crafted in a fashion that is fair to everybody
that's
concerned.
That's fair.
And that's your participants yeah. as okay. well as your audience. That's one.
Okay.
I'll tell you my other issue.
Okay. Issue number two.
Y'all just don't know.
Get a drink of water.
So, Miss Kettle said that this
would
was...
Would you like a, some
good.
Water?
I promise I'm good. Miss Kettle said that they are nonpartisan, and she's absolutely right. The NAACP is supposed to be a nonpartisan group, but you have to be nonpartisan in word and in deed. That means that the venue itself should have been nonpartisan as well. Because here's what I saw. Now, I love the MLK Center. My sorority mm-hmm. has had several events
yes.
there. It is a beautiful, beautiful center.
Yes.
But you and I both know, let's all get honest about this thing. Everybody ain't coming to the MLK Center. Mm-hmm. They're not. And so what happens is, right. in that, the deck is stacked against the candidates who look like you and me. Because
okay.
I can tell you that the ones that look like you and me are not going to have mm-hmm. white folks in the audience that they can possibly sway to mm-hmm. their side, where our white candidates have the opportunity to sway people mm-hmm. to their side because they look like us, but they sitting up in the MLK Center because, hey, they're mm-hmm. comfortable in being there.
Right.
If we're honestly going to be nonpartisan and we've charged $50 a pop, then how about use that money towards the rental of a facility that is a neutral place for everyone. You have Southwest Community yeah. College. I believe there is
the sports center.
The hospital
yeah,
here
the hospital.
Has a beautiful conference room upstairs.
Monday.
Yes,
yeah.
It has a beautiful meeting space because
yeah.
we've utilized that space as well. And also the old train station, I think, is very historic over in Summit.
Mm-hmm.
A number of different places that might have brought in a diverse crowd because, again, if we're speaking to diversity and nonpartisanship, then we must do that in word and in deed. And that is a part mm-hmm. of the logistics. That's a part of your planning there. And the final...
And that's your response.
Yes, and that's the responsibility of the person who is planning the event. And then finally...
Number three,
she says, shame on you candidates for blah, blah, blah. And I thought, but the shame is if people have not had the opportunity to hear these candidates time after time after time, because they've given their time. If they have not seen the advertisements and heard them on radio and had an opportunity to meet them at all these various festivals and all these various events and been able to witness the passion and the believability and the integrity that these folks are planning to bring to that office, if this forum, if she is suggesting that this forum takes away from that and detracts from that, then the shame would be on her and not them. And that is all I got.
Well, now, let me actually do this. Out of all of the above said, do you feel like your candidate was helped or hurt with this engagement at the MLKC, I mean, MLK Center? Do you think it helped him or hurt him?
Neither. Truthfully, I feel like, I'm just crazy enough to feel that this man that is in this studio at this moment is the absolute best candidate for that office.
I feel that
this man has the experience, that this man has the capacity, and he has the passion to bring about change and true working together with all of the law enforcement agencies and all of those things that his platform speaks to. So I honestly don't feel like I don't have a opinion one way or the other. I just know that the timing of this and again, the way that this was put together, I don't personally see that it helped or hurt his not being there.
Where was Michael McDowell fit into the equation?
Let's talk
a little bit about Michael McDowell, who is the chair head of the Democratic Party. Do you think there should have been communications between, like we're doing right now, getting down to the nitty-gritty? He has issues that he would like the NAACP to ask the candidates, maybe. The two entities working together. We are all Democrats, most of the Democratic Party. NAACP members are Democrats. So you feel like Mamie and Michael McDowell should have had some communications to eliminate this problem?
I can't even speak to that part. I just know that much of what she has said about Mr. McDowell's role in this is so categorically untrue till it is really, really, really hurtful. It's like Mr. McDowell is leading his party. And the only thing that he said to Patrick is that you make the decision that is best for you, that most reflects in this moment where your campaign is, what it is you need to do, so on and so forth. He did what any good chairperson would, and that is he encouraged his candidates. But he told them make their own decision. And then here's the other part. Patrick Beasley is a man in every sense of the word. And someone calling him, telling him not to do a thing or to do a thing does not mean that he is not going to do a thing or do a thing. Patrick Beasley makes decisions for Patrick Beasley. He does that. So, having said that, no, Mr. McDowell did not encourage, discourage any of that. He remained very neutral, and he allowed his candidates to make the decision that most reflected where they are and what they felt they needed.
Okay, that sounds like a winner. That sounds fair. And that's now I think we need to hear from Mr. Beasley himself.
Patrick, come on, Mr. Beasley.
Come on around, Mr. Patrick Beasley.
Well, hello, Tommy.
Tommy, it's a thrill to have you in here to clear up some things, because this is what I don't get too often is people that think enough of the people to come in just come down to the nitty gritty. Let the people know what's happening, what you feel, and this type thing, man. Do you feel you were hurt on this particular incident?
Well, hello, Tommy. I'm Patrick Beasley. Thank you for allowing me to come in and speak this evening. I don't think I can add anything that has not so eloquently been stated. Yes. It's often been said that I could just let her do the talking,
and
I just
that.
Wave, and I might be better off. I'm very fortunate to have her as a campaign manager and a supporter. But what I will say on this is simply this. I don't think that showing up at one event or another, at one event or not showing up at an event is going to make or break any candidacy. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there may be some people that was wondering why I was not there. And I would just simply answer that by saying that my race, and again, if you listen to some of the rhetoric out there, it makes it seem as if we're all working together. Now, while we're Democrats and we would like to see a blue wave, let me be clear. Each candidate in this race is running his or her own race. Mm-hmm. That's why you saw some Democrats right. show up. Mm-hmm. You saw some didn't show up to the forum that Ms. Kettle was having hosting. Mm-hmm. Now, that's because we all have to run our own race and we have to make considerations based around our races. Right. My race is in three counties. Now, mm-hmm. let's clear that up. I'm distinguished. That distinguishes my race from most that we're talking about today. Mm-hmm. And, I know there are some legislatures that are running for candidacy and they have to run on they have to run two counties or parts of two counties. But mm-hmm. see, I have to run in all of Lincoln, mm-hmm. all of Walthall, and all of Pike. Mm-hmm. So I have to make decisions, especially within the last 3 weeks of the campaign, mm-hmm. on how can I get my message out to all, mm-hmm. to the most people, or all people, not just a certain segment. And I find it ironic that the inference is that the candidates didn't want the NAAC to be neutral. And that's not the case at all. No one has a monopoly on the NAACP, whether you're in leadership or not, and we appreciate, respect it. I'm a member of the organization. My son's a member of the organization. That's the first thing I did when he got old enough to be a member is to make him a member. Mm-hmm. So nobody's slighting that at all. The issue becomes is that particular event being held where it was, when it was not the optimal use of my time. Mm-hmm. And because I needed to reach more than just a certain select people, especially when my opponent was coming to a venue and have a platform that he wouldn't normally have.
Yes.
And so that was allowing him to reach a group of folks that he wouldn't normally have. So I wasn't surprised to see him there at all. Mm-hmm. However, I at that particular time was speaking to other groups of people. Mm-hmm. I've spent a substantial amount of time in Pike County, mm-hmm. but I'm not just running to speak to any specific demographic or race in Pike County. I'm mm-hmm. running and trying to reach everybody, mm-hmm. because I'm going to need the vote and support of everyone in all three counties to be successful. Mm-hmm. And that's my calculus to suggest somebody was not willing to debate because they were not there. It's not the case at all. I think I saw that on a post or on the webpage, and that's simply irresponsible. I think it's unwarranted, and I also think it's unprofessional.
That's right.
My candidacy is premised on four components: mm-hmm. experience, accountability, mm-hmm. collaboration, and fairness. And Pike County, more than anything, needs someone with the vision and leadership, someone that can change direction, because in 1 year alone, from 2021 to 2022, crime increased 60%, mm-hmm. 60% in 1 year alone. And that happened while my opponent was an ADA in the office that's responsible for combating crime. See, that's the kind of stuff I'm trying to talk about. I'm not trying to talk about whether, I should have been at a forum or not. I'm trying to get the message out is that this race is pivotal, is very important.
Yes.
The DA's role is to make our community safer. Let me say that again. Mm-hmm. A district attorney's role is to make our community safer. And the way he does that is by fighting crime. Mm-hmm. And if you always do what you always done, you're going to always get what you always got.
That's it.
Now, Brendan Adams is the prime example of that. Brendan Adams has been in that office for over 18 years. He's had that position. And during that time period, what has happened? Crime has increased to the point where it is getting unsafe for people to walk out in their communities and feel safe.
That's right.
Those are the issues that we need to talk about. Those are the things that I want to talk about. I don't have time to be worried about whether somebody's going to hold it against me because I decided the better use of my time in this particular instance would be over here instead of at the MLK Center.
Right.
That's completely, I think unfair. It's irresponsible and unfair to suggest that. What again is that what's important is that our communities are safer, because once our communities are safer, businesses will invest back in this community. Mm-hmm. Our tax base will grow.
Yes.
Our schools will become better. Mm-hmm. Our police officers will get more equipment, more training to make things safer. And see, all of that builds around one central issue: making the community safer.
That's it.
That's it. That's what my platform's about. That's what I'm about. And that's what I can bring to the table, because I'm the only candidate in this race that has been both a police officer and a prosecutor. The fact that I didn't show up down there at MLK doesn't negate that. I'm the only candidate in this race that is a member of America's Armed Forces, retired, and have been in three combat operations of combat. The fact that I didn't show up for that forum doesn't negate that. I'm the only prosecutor or only person in this race that has supervised attorneys, prosecutors, investigators, an entire staff under the direction of Attorney General Jim Hood. The fact that I didn't come down to MLK does not negate that fact.
Period.
It does. See, my qualifications are still my qualifications.
Yes.
My qualification and my passion is still my passion.
Yes.
And I don't need to be tied with any organization, because I'm not running for any organization, you know, or with any organization. I'm running for the office of district attorney. I would love the members, the support of NAACP like I would every organization. But at the end of the day, my job is not to make somebody in any organization happy with me. My job is to try to make these communities safer if I'm given the privilege to serve in this capacity. And that's what I want.
As the Mr. Beasley manager, campaign manager, had you been in Miss Mamie Kettle, a black woman, apple to apple, oranges, had you been in her position to make the decision, what changes would you like to see? What would you do if you were listening to Mr. Beasley here and you had to do this next year? What changes would you make?
Wow. I didn't thank you, first of all, for giving us this platform
us
this time. So I was rude. Please excuse
me. No, we got a lot on our minds.
Yeah. But, you know, I guess what I'm thinking of right now is that in our sorority, there's a line in our national song, and so far as I can say this line, because we sing it publicly, that is, greater task to begin and greater laurels to win. I mean, that's what we believe in. That's a part of who we are. And so I think that I would allow that to be my mantra, because as Mr. Beasley has so eloquently stated, we have so much bigger than, you know, so many big issues and so many huge things that are facing us, that are facing our community. And so I think that if I had to do this, right, and I would not, this is a huge task that Ms. Kettle has in terms of being the president of the NAACP, is a huge responsibility, huge job to do. And I get it. You know, 501c3 is really important and you want to keep your status. Mm-hmm. I get all of that. But I honestly think that I would break it down, that I would slow down, that I would want to hear from the candidates themselves, that I would want to find out, how do you feel we could best do this to give all of you justice? Do we want to do this one night? Do we want to do it over a series of nights? Do we want to have a focus in the newspaper? And then how can our organization be of service to you?
And would what you, go ahead.
You know, what are some of the things that we can do from a nonpartisan standpoint that would still better help you, right? Mm-hmm. If you give us some literature and your opponent gives us literature, we're passing it out everywhere. We're doing what we can to support the candidates, period. So I think I would, and she's done a lot of great things. They've had voter registration.
20 years experience.
Yes, they've had voter registration. They have an expungement clinic coming up. They have a number of huge things that are so impactful for this community, and I cannot applaud her louder. But I just feel like this forum should not have taken on the life that it's taken on, and it certainly shouldn't be the distraction from the bigger picture that it has become. We have greater laurels to win and greater tasks to begin.
Giving up for Miss Mamie Kettle for those 20 years experience and for your admiration. That, I mean, your words were so kind, even though you had a disagreement with Ms. Kettle with the way this went down, but it lets you know that we are united right here with this party as we go through into November the 7th, less than 2 weeks away. We have got to send a message out to the conservatives that we are not about bickering.
Exactly.
We are not here to bicker. We just said we have disagreements in our party just like they do in theirs. Mm-hmm. For an example, now they got a letter running, a tape running around about the opponent on the sheriff race, and I'll never mention it because I call it dirty. So don't y'all send me nothing here about no tapes and stuff, because I'm not the one to do it. Mm-hmm. We don't get down like that. We wish Wally Jones, whoever you figure you're going to vote for in the sheriff race, or Wally, whether it be Ray Reynolds. But watch the money trail and make your decision.
That's
I'll
it.
Put it like that, okay? And y'all feel me on that. We got Miss Richardson over there. She got something. She's a 45-year school teacher. What you got to say?
After listening to Mr. Beasley, that everything he said, it was no way he could have said all of that in what the minister had. And what he said, the things that he is that's important to him are the things that's important
to us.
Yes. And we didn't know that. I mean, we have people that didn't know all these things.
Yes.
They don't know who these people are, what these people's minds are about, what they want to do for our children, our community. It was not enough time.
Yeah.
So you have to have the time to let these people tell you who they are.
Yeah, and perhaps if you would sit down with Miss Mamie Kettle, her office is open.
Yeah.
Invites you to the meetings.
Yeah.
And that just proves that we need to be
more time.
Get off of Facebook so much.
Yes.
Do you see those conservatives on Facebook?
They never would have done that.
They never would. They never do Facebook.
They never would have done that.
And you don't do that. You don't plant seeds of discord.
Yeah.
You
don't do that.
Facebook for his church. I've been in radio business a long time. I don't need the money. I ain't rich, but I don't need the money. We are well taken care of with Verizon's and all the major corporate sponsors, no locals. But we will advise you, don't be so fast to go on Facebook, because Facebook, like churches and political situations, they can murder you with one statement, you know, coming from...
Well, that's true, Tommy, but let me just say this too. And this was part of the calculus that my campaign made and we made about not attending this particular forum, is not everybody not everybody is going to look at Facebook. A lot of voters don't even pay attention to Facebook.
So we're leaving out a lot of people.
Yeah, you're leaving out, and that's the answer that I was given, well, this will be broadcast on Facebook Live as to make up for the fact that we're not getting a cross section of the community attending this event. You see, at this point, this close to the end of the line, every candidate is trying to maximize his or her time.
Yes.
And that's an individual decision. But when you're running a race in three different counties, you know, my thing is, now from my opponent's standpoint, it was the perfect venue for him at that time. Because he needs to try to sway some African-American votes. So that's why he was there.
Well, that was right on time for him.
That was right. I mean, it could not be. So he would have been absolutely insane not to show up.
Not to come.
Up.
Yeah. The deck was stacked.
Right. But at this point, at this particular point in time, you know, and, I've said this again, and thank you for allowing me to have this venue.
That's okay,
this platform. I really appreciate it. You're being applauded for it. But I just want to say that, I've been doing this for, I'll have in January right at 28 years. I can retire. And I guess what I'm saying is I don't need, I'm not running for this because I need a job. I have a job. I have a job doing the same thing that Mr. Adams is doing. And in my district, we're doing it better. And if you don't have to take my word for it, you can look at the crime statistics. And we're doing it better.
We're going to applaud you, baby. That's the whole African American community. That's doing it better, and that's what we got to do. And hopefully, Mr. Ray Reynolds will get in there and do it better. And we got two African American men like yourselves. And this representation to our children, this is what it's all about, because they're being shot down and they need that representation that you are going to bring forth. And it ain't about the money, which, because you discussed with me about the difference in pay. And I mean, if you knew, I mean, you'll know Patrick Beasley ain't in it for the money. He's not in it for the money. Where his opponent might be.
That's it.
So it's about the passion.
This is his passion.
And we hope this resonate among all of our candidates. We got Calvin Butler. He's running as an independent. Yes. It's all good, people, but it's for one cause. Sometimes we have to go different vehicles to get to different destinations.
Right.
Yeah, and Mr. Gary Brumfield, all the candidates, we just like to applaud you and all the things you do. And I'll give these people some money, because... I'll tell you what I want y'all to do. Y'all know a lot of y'all got money. You're on the, you drive around all these big old cars. But hell, you ain't spending no money on your candidates. Now, a lot of us, you ain't got no businesses. And I was coming in, me and my wife, we saw this big old sign that says, Vote Republicans, November the 7th, on the main highway, on 98. East going between, and you're going to see a lot of those signs. We need some signs saying vote Democratic November the 7th. And if you want to sponsor one of those signs, I have the sign vendors who's responsible for such signs, because we don't have the businesses. See, they can put signs in front of their businesses because they own the businesses.
Right.
And then we have
the property.
Yeah, they own the property. So they we're outnumbered. Only weapon we have is the churches, and half the churches, they're so holy, some of them, that they won't let the ministers, the candidates in the church. You need to rethink this. I honestly believe it. Yeah, the problem with the Democratic problem is that of the ministers with this line between church and the state. Church and state. But we got to get past that, because we're losing elections. We don't have no help. These candidates are not getting in to help our children being shot down at the same time, man.
And you want to know what the irony is? The irony is, as far as the role of the district attorney, you'll see that sign saying vote Republican, which means that if everybody were to pay attention to that sign, they would vote for the Republican candidate for district attorney, which is my opponent. Yeah. And at the same time, acknowledging that crime has increased 60% in 1 year in this very county. But you still want to report some, you support someone just because they're running as a Republican. See, the beautiful thing about my race and the sheriff's race that people need to understand, if someone's breaking in your house at 2 o'clock in the morning,
that part,
you're not going to care whether the DA is a Democrat or Republican. And guess what? The criminal doesn't care if you're a Democrat or Republican. You know what the criminal is doing? The criminal is sitting out there looking for the opportunity and the most vulnerable person. So that criminal is using logic. That criminal is using his or her mind and strategy. And so if a criminal can do that, why can't a voter do that when he or she goes to the poll? Why shouldn't you look at someone and say, hey, you know, I might be a registered Republican, but I see my Republican opponent has been in this office and crime is out of control. And this guy has a proven track record and he has a Democrat. And at the end of the day, what does that have to do with him enforcing the law? Absolutely nothing.
And came up here and asked our people 3 weeks before
the primary,
to vote. For him, I mean, the irony of it, I mean, I just thought, oh, that is so bold.
And arrogant.
Let me ask you something. Were you invited to any of the Republicans' platforms?
There was one, and it was being held in a very rural location in Lincoln County when my campaign manager asked the question, well, do you think our safety would
can
be...
Can you assure our safety?
And she said, you know what it was response? That's a good question.
That's a good question.
Jesus Christ. I wouldn't have
won. Right. I mean, literally way out in the country, one of the, you know, in a very rural area.
And so, but you know, I chose not to go to that venue as well. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, and this is what I want to talk about when, you know, the why the NAACP is so important to me, because it is always championed when there's disparities that have been existing. Yes. And what's a glaring example of disparity that this office or this chapter has not addressed is the fact that in 20 years, the DA's office has not had an African American or an attorney of color in that office.
So in 20 years.
So to me, if you know, let's go on Facebook Live about that.
Yes.
If we're going to use that. Let's talk about the disparity of the fact that the majority of criminal defendants, the files that they're handling, are African Americans, yet you don't even want to give the appearance of fairness. Mm-hmm. How can an African American juror be sitting and listening to a trial and think that the state or that the DA's office is being fair and truthful when they have not even taken the time to even have someone of color in their employment as far as the attorneys go in 20 years. It's not even good trial strategy.
I've seen you whatever the proper language plunked out in English we saw you on Crime Stoppers. Some of the shows that you've
American Greed.
Tried cases on American Greed. That's the CBS. What is that network?
I think it was on. I'm not sure
or
where
CNBC
or something like that. But American Greed is basically a one of those news shows, and they will highlight certain areas. In this particular case, they were highlighting a case that I work involving silicone, a lady giving silicone injections to a lady and killed her. The victim was in Georgia. One of the co-defendants was in New York when I was working for the AG's office. I was the lead attorney on that case. We convicted the individual in New York as well as and got justice for the victim from Georgia against someone here. And this is what I'm saying. I have the body of work. Mm-hmm. I've been doing this. I am a law enforcement professional for over 32 years. I'm not new to this.
You've been an officer yourself, huh?
Yes. Yeah. And I tell people all the time, I'm not new to this. I'm true to this. This is what I've done. I've been a prosecutor for nearly two decades. I've been a police officer for right at 14 years. And you know, you can't, you can't push that away because I didn't go to a forum.
That's right.
Yeah, you got
it. See that, to suggest that you should vote for my opponent is a disservice if you love people in Macomb, in the Pike County area. Mm-hmm. That's how serious this is. Because what you need to ask yourself is, if I'm a victim of a crime, if I'm a victim of a crime, will, or if my family member is a victim of a crime, will me or my family member receive justice? And right now, just look at the track record. And that'll answer your question. D-Base has failed this district. And the guy that's running is his pupil. They work in the same office. He's been working there. That's the only job that my opponents had. So how can the pupil exceed the teacher?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
That just doesn't happen.
I hope we learned a lot on this segment, Mr. Patrick Beasley, ladies and gentlemen. On Sunday, after Sunday politics, it's right here. It is, you know, when they play checkers, we play chess politics right here, baby, on Superman Radio 1, brought to you by all the sponsors that make it possible for us to come your way. Join us on the Steve Harvey Morning Show tomorrow morning for this segment. Will be aired again to teach you a lot about the candidate. And we will have also tomorrow evening Miss Mamie Cattle. She'll be responding to your statements. And perhaps Michael McDowell might show up. Maybe he'll wait till afterward. But we want to get all the facts in so everybody can get it out. Hers will be on tomorrow evening along with Miss Janet Walker. So, and Mr. Bruce Mullins with the city council here, selectman, Pike County City Selectman Bruce Mullins, along with others. So we're going to just thank you and your candidate, Miss Harrison. Did I miss your name up again?
Just roll with it.
What's a bad name? Lois Lane, my wife is Lois Lane. I'm Superman. She said, I love my husband, but he's bad with names. So
don't.
Yeah, I have so many. You don't know how much data I have to process. I run through so many people every day, and I get their names.
I know.
Yeah, it's a trip, but I'm Tom Superman in the mix, no tricks. We love you. Young people, pull your pants up, show your minds, and not your behind. You look like a stank in McDonald's with your pants down. Okay, it's more great music. I'll see you on the next one. Love yourselves and be good to each other.
You and let us get a copy of that.
Bang!
Yes.
I think. I'm.